From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome once again in the Saviour's name to our Let the Bible Speak program. Our preacher today is the Reverend Ian Brown, and he's turning our attention to John 3 verses 17 and 18 as he brings his second message from this portion of Scripture. But before the message, let's hear this piece in song, My Sins Are Gone.
Good morning, and welcome again to our broadcast going out over Gospel AM. Today we're continuing our short series of studies on the words of Jesus in John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But before we get to what is our second message in the series, let's turn for a short Bible reading to the Gospel of John and read our text, plus a few verses either side of it. John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Father, forgive them. Those memorable words of Jesus, spoken as he looked into the eyes of his persecutors at Calvary, are so typical of his ministry and so typical of his mission on this earth. All mankind was guilty before God. Because of a sin, man stood condemned. He deserved judgment. But God, in his great love, would rather save man than damn him. And as proof of that immense love, God sent his Son into this world of ours, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. One of our hymn writers has put it like this: they nailed the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They smote him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone, he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he bled and died for you and me. Not on a crusade of world destruction, but on a mission of mercy, Jesus came. And because he did bleed and die for you and I, then the promise of John chapter 3 verse 18 holds good for us today. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We have already considered in a previous message the gracious purpose of God concerning this world. Jesus came here, and his purpose in coming was with a desire to redeem, not to ruin. He came not to condemn, but to save. There's another vital point that sits on the surface of John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, and we're going to give our attention to that this morning. The responsibility of sinners in this world towards Christ. What should I, a sinner, do with this great salvation of God? The answer is clear and unmistakable. Paul put it very well when he spoke to the jailer at Philippi. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 records his words: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Our text in John 3 and verse 18 states that clearly. He that believeth on him is not condemned, we are told. How do I believe, someone asks? A very good question, I answer. Believe as the little child believes, who rises every morning and goes to sleep every night without one thought or worry or care or anxiety for food or clothing, quite sure that mum and dad will provide. Believe as the miner believes when he steps into that cage and trusts that cage and its tackle entirely as he's lowered down into the bowels of the earth. Believe as a drowning man believes when he grips the rope that has been thrown to him, and he grips it so tightly that its strands are literally embedded in his flesh when he's hauled onto the deck of the lifeboat. In other words, trust yourself entirely to Jesus. The hymn writer put it like this: venture on him, venture wholly, let no other trust intrude. And that's how it is. We need to let go of everything that we might take confidence in. We need to come not depending upon our feelings, not depending upon our works, not depending upon our charitable deeds, or our many prayers, or our religion and all of its ritual, but to accept all that God says in his word about Jesus and his work. To let Jesus Christ be everything to us in this vital realm of salvation. It's wonderful to see him with all of our sins made to meet on his head as our substitute. Tremendous to see him raised from the dead as the clear guarantee that all of our debt is paid. Wonderful also to see him seated at the right hand of the Father on high as our representative and interceder. A trader, who had a cellar underneath a shop which was reached by a trapdoor, had gone down there for some goods. His little five-year-old girl came into the store and, missing her dad, shouted for him. "I'm here, Mary," the father called back from the dark cellar. "I don't see you," said the child, "but I'm here, Mary, and if you jump, I'll catch you in my arms." The child knew her father wouldn't deceive her. She took him at his word. She jumped into the darkness and landed in her father's strong arms. That was faith. That's what God requires of us, that we should trust ourselves wholly to Jesus. That we come in the words of the poet, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, flee to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace." And in the moment we do, we have the promise of God's word for it that we'll pass from the state of condemnation into one of acceptance. God will view us no longer as we are in ourselves, guilty sinners, but as we are now in Christ Jesus, washed clean from all of our guilt in his precious blood, robed in his perfect righteousness that has been imputed or reckoned to our account, and as one with him forever. Two brothers were on the board of directors of a new company. They sent a prospectus to two sisters advising them to take shares in the new company. One replied, "I believe it's all right," but she bought none of the shares. The other wrote, "I'll take 100 shares because I rely on your word." That's a good illustration of the difference between real and false faith. It's possible to believe the gospel of God in a general kind of way, and to give assent to all of the facts and the figures of the Bible. But the person who relies on the record, who rests upon that record, who reaches out and depends upon the record that God has given of a Son in His Word, it is that person who has eternal life. I'm ending this message today by sounding a word of caution. While all I've said is gloriously true about those who simply and wholly trust in Christ, this text, John 3, the verses 17 and 18, assures us that the very opposite is true about everyone who doesn't trust Jesus only, but relies either wholly or partially upon themselves for acceptance with God. We read here that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm quite sure that when Jesus said this, he said it tenderly. He said it with a heart that was full of pity, with yearning love in his tones, maybe with tears in his eyes and grief in his heart. But he would say it firmly too. But it's not mercy to cry, peace, peace, to souls who are in a lost condition and under condemnation and are headed for anything but peace. To do that is an act of extreme callousness. Jesus the Saviour is saying to all of those who aren't trusting simply and wholly in him, you're under condemnation at this moment. If you were to die now, you'd be lost forever. The devil holds immortal souls in a fatal deception when he comes and tells them, you'll not be condemned until the judgment day, and that day, let's face it, is miles off, light years away, so you've plenty of time. When he comes and tells us, you'll not even be condemned in the day of judgment, because God has such love in his heart, he'd never send anyone down to hell. Jesus' verdict in John chapter 3, verse 18, shows up the devil's lie for what it is. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There is condemnation for the non-believer. Every moment you continue to refuse to accept what the Lord Jesus has done for sinners, you stay where the law of God has put you, under condemnation. Sentence of death has already gone out against you. The judgment day will only execute that sentence. Let's give no credence today to the devil's lie, for let's face it, none of us can say that we have plenty of time. This moment, God, in his grace, offers you salvation for nothing. The next moment, it may be too late. I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. While there is space, repent. Seek Christ and his mercy now, while there is time.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's programme. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53, 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53, 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.